We want to, the passage that we're looking at this morning, it's found in Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 to 15. For sake of time, we won't read that whole bit, but as we work through this passage, I'll point out the verses that are relevant. But very simply, I want us to think about Caleb this morning. Caleb. Now, Caleb is someone that is only mentioned a few times throughout the scripture. But yet, whenever we read of Caleb and his life, his character, his desire, we sort of think and see the need of how we need to have more people today like Caleb's. Now, of course, we need to be more like the Lord Jesus. That is the whole point of being a Christian, being delivered, saved from sin and being brought into the family of God, is that we are being sanctified, molded, made into more like the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. But we have many examples in Scripture of those who have lived before us through this life and have glorified God, and there are lessons that we can learn from them. And just one is this man, Caleb. You know, we are in a day and age in which there is much trouble. We have started a new year, and already we're only into the start of the second month. And how much have we seen in the news? And how much we see things going on in our world. And you know, we have to say, as the people of God, we know that God is working out his purposes, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very soon. It's very near. It's nearer than it ever has been. And as the people of God, what do we do? Do we just sit back and think, well, Christ is coming. You know, the world's going to go the way it's going to go. All that's going to happen is going to happen. What are we to do? Well, yes, we are to watch. We are to be aware of what's going on around us, what's happening. We are to wait. We are to be expectant of our Savior's return. But does that mean we just sit back and, well, we watch and wait and that's it? Well, no, we are also to work. We are to labor while it's still day. The night is coming. The end is coming. When no man shall work, and we will rest from our labors. And I hope this morning, as we see the life of Caleb and a few things that we can take from it, that we will, in these last days, be people who will be working and serving while we watch and wait for our Savior. We see, sadly, that there are so many who are content to be at ease in Zion. But you know, when we look at Caleb, he challenges those who are lazy and those who don't feel like they want to do much. And I hope this morning that just looking at Caleb, we will be inspired, we'll be encouraged, yes, we'll be challenged, and that the Lord would speak to each one of us. Notice a few things then about Caleb. First of all, we notice the courage of Caleb. We notice the courage of Caleb. Now, we see something of Caleb's courage recorded many years before the passage that we see in Joshua 14, verses 6 to 15. If you can remember, Caleb was one of the spies sent by Moses into the land of Canaan to spy it out, to view it. But if you remember, there were 10 spies who give a bad report, wasn't there? If you look at Numbers chapter 13, we see that. We see in verses 26 to 33 the report that they brought back. And if you just notice, at the end of Numbers 13, in verse 32, the 10 spies gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." And look at the reaction to this bad report in chapter 14 and verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained." You know, Caleb had to have courage. 10 spies, the majority of the spies that went into Canaan, give this bad report. But we see Caleb and Joshua, they were the two that stood up against the 10 spies. But we were noticing Caleb particularly. He had to have courage to stand out and to stand up for the true report. Even to the point that the congregation were going to stone him and Joshua after the bad report had been given and after the children of Israel had complained. We notice in verse 10 of Numbers 14 that whenever Joshua and Caleb said, "No, that report's wrong, that's not true. If the Lord delights in us," in verse 8 of Numbers 14, "He will bring us into this land and give it to us." But what was the reaction of the children of Israel? Well, verse 10 of Numbers 14, "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones." So what courage Caleb had to have to stand up and say, "No, the Lord has promised it. He will give it to us, no matter what or who there is in this land." But notice Caleb's courage still is strong. We come back to our passage in Joshua 14 and verse 12. We see his courage still strong in that he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day." Now some might ask, well, how does this show Caleb's courage? Very simply, because the mountain which the Lord had promised him and which Caleb speaks about here was where those giants of the Anakim lived. Those giants which caused the 10 spies to give a bad report. Those giants which caused the children of Israel to complain and ultimately to spend 40 years in the wilderness. But Caleb, even though he is 85 years of age at this point, and verse 10 of Joshua 14 tells us this, yet he was not going to be put off. Someone said, "What a statement of spiritual ambition we get from Caleb here." You know, it takes courage to go onward and upward in the Christian life. When we become a Christian, when we have trusted Christ Jesus, when we are one of his, it doesn't mean we have an easy life and we sail through it. Definitely not. And we all know that. It takes courage. It takes courage to stand out against the crowd. It takes courage to not take the easy option. A mountain for a man of 85 years of age. No, I'll just stay on the plane. Which included giants. And yet Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." You know, in this day that we live, we see the majority, you know, pushing for things that are anti-God, anti-Christian, that are anti the Bible, and it's being pushed on everyone. You've got to accept this. You've got to believe it. You've got to go with it. How sad In recent days, we see those who apparently read the Word of God, preach the Word of God, and yet they are apologizing for what God has ordained and purposed to be His will between man and woman. What blasphemy to be apologizing on behalf of God who has spoke this. And what courage it is to stand out and to stand against that, isn't it? Someone said that the portion to which Caleb is talking about here was the most difficult portion of the land of Canaan to possess. And yet he had the courage to say, "Give me this mountain." What gave Caleb this courage? Well, very simply, it was a certainty based on the Word of God. Look at verse 10. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness." Ever since the Lord spoke. And if you read that passage in Joshua 14, verses 6 to 15, you will notice five times Caleb refers to the Word of God. The word that God has spoken. And you know, when we look at ourselves, we see how frail and how weak we are, and we think, "Oh, how can we stand up? How can we stand out against the tide, against the majority, against the flow of society?" Well, we have nothing in ourselves. We don't. But we have the Word of God, and we have the promises of God. And so let us take courage in what God has said, in what He has promised. Let us take courage from God's word, but let us also take courage to stand up for what God has said. You know, there's that hymn, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" And one of the verses says this: "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas?" That's a sense of the courage of Caleb here. Notice secondly, the course of Caleb's life. The course of Caleb's life. We see this in verse 8 of Joshua 14. He says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." That's the course of Caleb's life. He wholeheartedly walked with God. He didn't half-heartedly. He didn't on and off whenever he felt like it. But he says, "I have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." But you know, this isn't a statement that Caleb makes up just about himself. There were others who testified to Caleb having this course. If you look at verse 14, Joshua himself said, "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Joshua, who was made the leader of the children of Israel, said this of Caleb. But you know, even God himself testifies to this being the course of Caleb's life. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, this is God speaking, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully." You know, what a thing to have even God himself say of one who is his. He had a courage that was based on the Word of God, but because this was the course of his life, he was assured of the presence of God. In verse 12, Caleb says, "The Lord will be with me. The Lord will be with me." This is his wholehearted dependence. In a sense, he was saying, "With God, nothing is impossible." Is that the course of our life? Wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. To be able to say the Lord will be with me, and when he's with me, all things are possible. We see thirdly the consistency of Caleb's life. In verse 10, Caleb talks about how these 45 years. And what he's basically saying is that for 45 years, Caleb waited from whenever God promised him the portion of land in Canaan that would be his till now. 45 years he had to wait to claim it, to see the word of God fulfilled, the promise that God had made actually happen. And yet for 45 years we see his consistency in that he wholly followed the Lord. We don't read of Caleb complaining against God like the children of Israel did. We don't hear about him moaning. But the picture we get is that he consistently strived forward. Each step that they took in the land, each obstacle that they came across and they overcame, he kept going. He didn't run ahead to the portion and bypass all that they had to overcome in the land. Each step. Remember what God said in Numbers 14, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. You know, our own human fleshly wisdom will be, I want it now, I want it however I can get it. But not one who belongs to the Lord. We have a different spirit. Someone said, he maintained his spiritual integrity. His devotion and commitment was consistent. So we see a consistency in 45 years wholly following the Lord. But notice something else about Caleb's consistency. In verse 11, he says, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. What a freshness we get from Caleb here, from his desire. And what a lesson. Physically, age catches up on us. It creeps up on us. It affects us. We can't do physically, maybe even mentally, the things that we used to be able to do. But that wasn't stopping Caleb. We see that his desire was still as strong to follow and to know more of God. Caleb had no thought here of a spiritual retirement. He could have said, oh, I've been in the way 45 years, and I've seen this, and I've done that, and oh, we keep doing it the way we've always done it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, from the day that God spoke, I still have the same strength. You know, what a challenge. From the day that we were saved, and we were brought into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, if you think back to that day, are you still as strong in your desire and in your love and in your commitment? Are you still as fresh in your fellowship with him? You know, that's what all these things are challenging us about. Warren Wiersbe said, no matter how old we become, we must never retire from trusting and serving the Lord. Let us be consistent. Whatever might hold us back physically and mentally, you know, we can still look to the Lord. And we can still serve him in some way. That was the consistency of Caleb. And then just in closing, the consequences of Caleb's life. What consequences were there from someone like Caleb? What was the consequence of the courage that he had? The course that he took? The consistency that he has shown? Well, in chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, we read that he claimed the mountain. The mountain which God had promised, the mountain which he says, give me this mountain. The giants and all the obstacles that were in his way, we see that one of the consequences of Caleb's life is that he took that mountain. And the giants were driven out. You know, children, Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness wandering, and all but two perished and didn't see the promised land because they were worried about these giants. And yet Caleb and Joshua seen God at work because they continued on, they followed him. But you know, there was another consequence to Caleb's life, and that was that his life, his spirit rubbed off onto somebody else. If you look at chapter 15 and verses 16 and 17, Caleb said, he who attacks Kirj of Sefer and takes it to him, I will give Achish my daughter as wife. So Onephel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Achish his daughter as wife. We see that this man, Othniel, the challenge was laid down. And I tend to think that he looked on Caleb and he seen the way Caleb was, his courage and the course of his life and the consistency of his testimony. You know, when that challenge came, Onephel, it says, took it. Onephel would later become a judge in Israel. If you look at Judges chapter 3, Judges chapter 3 and verse 9, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Onephel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Listen, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. He went out to war and the Lord delivered those kings of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed. And then in verse 11 it says, so the land had rest for 40 years. You know, wouldn't it be great if one of the consequences of our life would be on those who are younger, whether younger in years or whether younger in the faith, would be able to look on us and say, you know, I want to achieve great things for God. You know, we have people in church history, the reformers, we know of missionaries, we know of great church leaders. And we look at them and their testimony rubs off and it gives us that desire, oh, that I would be used just as God used them. And so we see the consequences of a life lived such as Caleb. So I go back to what I said at the start. How today we need more people like Caleb. A courage that is not based on anything in themselves, but based on the Word of God. Luther was able to say, my conscience is held, here I stand on the Word of God. The course, holy following the Lord. The consistency of his testimony. You know, may God help each one of us this morning to never stop seeking him. But may we keep praying, give me this mountain. Now, we're all individuals here this morning. We have all different individual experiences. But whatever it is, maybe to overcome, maybe that we long to see, whether it be in our own personal lives, whether it be in our church, whether it be in our community, whether it be in our nation. Oh, may we have such faith and desire that is as strong to say, give me this mountain. Lord, let me see your promises worked out, fulfilled to the glory of your name. Let me just finish with this quote from the hymn I've already quoted, Am I a Soldier of a Cross? Another verse goes like this. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.